Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather 6th Ward this Father's Day morning. I'd like to send a special thank you to all the fathers out there for their wonderful service and role that they have. I'd also like to welcome any visitors or those that are here for the first time. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. Bishop Alan Misbach is presiding at this meeting and has asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. I'd also like to thank our chorister, Rick Grapes, and our organist, Andy Young, today. By way of announcement, again, I'd like to thank everyone for their efforts in assisting in both the Elders Quorum and High Priest with the building cleanup. This Saturday, it's my family, as well as Rick and Cindy Clark, Ed and Tina Johnson, John and Kristen Anderson, Jack and Claudia Reed, and Peter and Ann Johnson for this Saturday morning for a building cleanup at 9. Also, there will be no family history class today. And with that, we will open this sacrament meeting by singing hymn number 68, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, after which the invocation will be offered by Richard Brunst.
Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to Thee for the opportunity we have to come here this Sabbath day and to worship Thee. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to partake of the sacrament and to think on the sacrifice of Thy Son and for the blessings that we have thereof. Father, we pray that Thou might bless us with Thy Spirit this day, that we might feel of Thee and know of Thee, and that we might listen intently to those who will speak and who will provide music for us, that we might learn and that we might grow. Father, we pray that Thou might bless the speakers and bless those who perform. We're thankful unto Thee for our free land and for the blessings that we have of living in such wonderful circumstances. We pray this day that Thou might bless our fathers, bless those who lead and guide, bless those, Father, in our ward who serve us so well, our bishop and his counselors. We pray that Thou might be with them. Father, we pray this day that we might think on Thee, that we might worship Thee, and that we might spend time with Thee. And say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We have a wonderful program today. Our first speaker will be Austin Beckstead. After Austin, we will hear from Sister Tammy Brunst, and then we will have a special musical number from the primary. After the primary sings, we will hear from Sister Allie Ricard. Brother Beckstead.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and happy Father's Day. Today I have the opportunity to talk to you about the remarkable relationship between fathers and sons. In the priesthood session of the October 2009 General Conference, Elder Ballard gave a talk on this kind of relationship. He said, "There is no other relationship quite like that which can and should exist between a father and a son. It can be one of the most nurturing, joyful relationships in life, one that can have a profound impact on who boys become and also on who dads become. He then gave us three simple steps to grow closer to our fathers. First, he said to trust our fathers. An important part of a father-child relationship is that the children believe that the father will only do what is best for his children. Talk to your father so he will know more about you, and so he'll be able to understand your problems and help you with them. Trusting and communicating with our fathers is very important. My father actively works to build the relationships within my family. He leads regular family scripture study, prayer, family home evening, and family meals to bring us together in the gospel. He takes us on drives or outside on our porch for interviews with him. He plans fun trips and outings to strengthen our family bonds. He cares about my eternal relationship with him and other family members. I trust that what he is doing will help me be a better father someday and that I can live a better life. Second, Elder Ballard told us to take an interest in our fathers' lives. Our fathers can be amazing examples for us. He said to watch how our father treats his spouse, performs his church callings, and interacts with other people. I think the best way to learn to be a good father is to pay attention to how your father acts and try to be like him. Lately, my family has been reading from my dad's missionary journal. It has been amazing to see how faithful he was as he prepared for and served a mission. I have learned so much from his life and will follow his example and serve a mission as he did. I have learned a lot from watching how my dad treats my mom and tries to do things to make her happy. My dad has taught me about many of his interests, like how to invest money and how to play tennis. The third step to a better relationship is to ask your father for advice. When you do so, it tells your father that you value his ideas and suggestions and appreciate that he is there for you. Fathers will want to try harder to give good counsel if they see that their children really want to learn from them. Whenever I have questions that confuse me, I always ask my dad. He knows just where to look in the scriptures to find an answer that gives me peace. I admire how much he knows about the gospel and life in general. He is someone I can always feel comfortable talking to. His wisdom and counsel continue to impact my life every day. As we follow these steps, we will grow closer to our fathers. We can learn so much from them as we watch them live righteous lives. It is important to trust our fathers, take interest in their lives, and ask them for advice. Even though they aren't perfect, as none of us are, they're a bit farther down the road with experiences and wisdom that can teach us valuable lessons. I'm grateful for my earthly father, and I know that both he and my heavenly father love me. I'd like to bear my testimony that I know that having a relationship with your father is worth having, and that if we strive to build this relationship with both our earthly father and our heavenly father, that we'll be blessed for this life and forever. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If we all give 2.5-minute talks, the bishop could have a lot to talk about today. For those of you who were here last week at church, I too was texting Brother Roberts begging, like Zoe Holdaway, to speak in sacrament meeting. No, that's not true. But I'm happy to be here. I wanted to introduce our family a little bit, like Kristen did last week. We have also been in the ward for 25 years, which is an amazing thought. I don't know why I'm emotional. Sorry. We have 4 great kids. Punky. Okay, I gotta get a grip here. Punky and Angie. Punky, who married a wonderful young lady, Angie, and they are living in Arizona, and they have our cute little granddaughter, Amelia, and Punky is working for Boeing at the Apache helicopter plant, and just got a promotion, and he's really excited, and he's going to be starting Auburn University in the fall to get his master's, so we'll never see him again. Becca, who is our stalwart churchgoer, she comes here and loves to teach primary, so she spends Sunday morning with her little friends down in primary, and then she goes and attends her singles ward in the afternoon with her big friends. And we love her. She's a great example and a sweetheart in our family. We have Chris, who married Kelsey, and she's a sweetheart too. They're attending BYU, and they'll both graduate in December within education, in different areas of education, but then they're going to go away, and we'll never see them again either. And Chris is going to get his master's in special education. And then we have William, who's our sweetheart, who is a pharmacy tech and working at Macy's. So if you need any kind of medication, go visit him there. And he's attending BYU and taking classes. And he's going to go into environmental science. So we might see him. I want to also wish everyone today a happy Father's Day out there. I'm thankful for my own dad. He was a wonderful example to me. They live up in Idaho. I also want to thank my husband. He is a wonderful man, example, and a great father to our kids. I asked our kids to share some of the things that they appreciate their dad, and these are some of the things that they said. They said, we appreciate having good, fun times with dad, like doing donuts and with the old truck that was in the Tippinogas parking lot. Never do it in the church parking lot because bad things always happen. Going skiing, having fun with cars, taking breaks to go get treats and talk, his willingness to serve others, his patience, his listening ear. He's a man of faith, and his desire to do right, even if it's hard. He is a great man. I love him. As I look in our audience, I see other examples of wonderful men that are in our lives who have contributed to my family's life, and I'm thankful that we have this day to honor them. Brother Roberts asked me to talk about Elder Holland's talk from the 2003 General Conference entitled The Grandeur of God. When I first re-listened to this talk, I really wasn't blown away by any new doctrine, but the Spirit just confirmed to me that what he said was true. So for my talk, I wanted to share some of the truths that popped out to me. The first truth is that we need to know God in order to more fully love and obey him more completely. This is found in the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment. We were at the Payson Temple a couple weekends ago attending the sealing of Spencer and Heather Waite. And during the sealing, the officiator talked about the temple and how peaceful and magnificent it is. And the temple is a place where God can dwell more easily. It's a holy place where we can feel comfortable in his presence. So I imagine that's how heaven will be. It will be like the temple, and we have to feel comfortable in the temple in order to feel comfortable in the presence of God. The second truth that Elder Holland talked about was regarding Joseph Smith. When Joseph Smith went into the grove to pray, he gained some incredible knowledge. The first thing he learned that day was that God and Jesus were two separate beings. The second thing he learned was that God knew him by name, and he loved him. That was an incredible vision for him to receive. The first article of faith is, we believe in God the Eternal Father and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. God is a real person and the Father of us all. Joseph Smith was the first prophet of this dispensation to reintroduce our Heavenly Father. Elder Holland pointed out that after generations of prophets had tried to teach the family of men the will and the way of the Father, usually with little success, God, in his ultimate effort to have us know him, sent to earth his only begotten and perfect Son, created in his very likeness and image to live and serve among the mortals among mortal in everyday rigors of life. The third truth that Elder Holland talked about was one of the purposes for Jesus to come to this world, and it was to show us who and what God, our Eternal Father, is like, and how he is completely devoted to his children throughout the ages of time and in every nation. Jesus was trying to reveal and make personal to us the true nature of his Father, our Heavenly Father, through all that he did. Heavenly Father is the ultimate example of what a father is. In the scriptures, I forgot my scriptures this morning, so I borrowed the bishops. So let me get to that. Oh, Bishop, you haven't been using your scriptures very often. That was meant for Brother Roberts, sorry. The bishop and I had a deal. I was supposed to do scouts. He was supposed to keep me from talking in church. Well, you know how that went. Okay, anyway. Elder Holland quoted Christ from the following scriptures found in John 14:10, John 5:19, and John 5:19. He said, "The Father doeth the works," he said in earnest, "the Son can do nothing himself but what he seeth the Father do. For whatever things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And in John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. That's in John 6:38. So we see from these scriptures that Jesus was doing the will of his Father to teach us by the example of our Heavenly Father. The fourth truth is that we learned the deep concern Heavenly Father has for each of his children and has the emotions that we as parents might have for our own children. And I quote Elder Holland. He said so many things so eloquently that it was hard for me to truly re-say them in a different way. He said, "How grateful we are for all the scriptures, especially the scriptures of the Restoration that teach us the majesty of each member of the Godhead. How we would thrill, for example, if all of the world would receive and embrace the view of the Father so movingly described in the Pearl of Great Price. There, in the midst of grand vision of humankind, which heaven opened to his view, Enoch, observing the blessings and challenges of mortality, turns his gaze toward the Father and is stunned to see him weeping. He says in wonder and amazement to this most powerful being in the universe, 'How is it that thou canst weep? Thou art just and merciful and kind forever. Peace is the habitation of thy throne, and mercy shall go before thy face and have no end. How is it thou canst weep?' Looking out on the events of almost any day, God replies, 'Behold, these my brethren, they are the workmanship of mine own hands. I gave unto them a commandment that they should love one another, and that they should choose me, their Father. But behold, they are without affection, and they hate their own blood. Wherefore should not the heavens weep, seeing these that shall suffer?'" Elder Holland continues, "That single riveting scene does more to teach the true nature of God than any theological treatise could ever convey. It also helps us understand much more emphatically that vivid moment in the Book of Mormon allegory of the olive tree, when after digging and dunging, watering and weeding, trimming, pruning, transplanting, and grafting, the great Lord of the vineyard throws down the spade and his pruning shears and weeps, crying out to any who would listen, 'What more could I have done for my vineyard?'" Unquote. I think this is an incredible picture of how God is engaged in our lives. I think as parents, we have days like those where we look out and go, "What more could I have done?" I know Heavenly Father loves each of us, has a plan for us, has sent his Son as an example of his love, and has provided a way for each of us to return to him because he wants us to return to him, because he is a loving Heavenly Father. The last truth from this talk was that Jesus came here to show us God's love for us. In John 3, 16-17, it says, "For God so ever loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I'm thankful for this opportunity that I had to revisit this talk. And I know that we have living prophets on this earth and apostles who love us, and a Heavenly Father who also loves us and is watching over his vineyard. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I've never spoken last, and so I can't make any promises that I can fill time, but I'll try. I'm Allie Rickard. We, formerly Allie Bramwell, if I look familiar to anybody. I'm Suzanne Peterson's daughter, and me and my husband, Shane, are living with my mom for a few months. We have two kids, a little girl, 4, who's Nora, and a little boy who's 2 named Wells. A little bit about us. Shane and I actually both grew up in Orem. I grew up in this ward. We attended the same junior high and high school. When people hear this, they often think we're high school sweethearts, and we're far from it. We somehow managed to have no mutual friends going to same junior high and high school. We had seminary together. We went on one date in high school. It was the worst date of both of our lives. We didn't talk again for 5 years. We just happened to reconnect, and then the next thing you know, we're married. So Shane gets to speak next week, so if he wants to add any more to our story, I'll let him add that there. Shane works for an advertising agency called the Harmon Brothers. They're located in Provo. And I work for a corporate wellness company, so we provide wellness solutions for big companies. Luckily, I get to work from home, so I get to be with my kids. It's just part-time. It's a fun thing for me to do. So I love holidays, and I'm always so grateful when we have another holiday. So I'm glad that we have a day to set aside our gratitude for our husbands and fathers and grandfathers and any father figure we all have in our lives. And I think it's a good time to remember. As I was pondering the topic that Brother Roberts gave me about our Heavenly Father, I found myself thinking about my relationship with my eternal Father. I started thinking about some of the qualities of God and also the miracles I have seen. I've pondered about my past relationship with him, some of the trials I've gone through, also the testimony builders I've had. And then I began thinking about my current relationship now. I started thinking, do I always remember him, or do I just remember him when the trials come and then I forget about him when they've gone? And then often when I'm praying and thinking of him, how full of gratitude am I versus just asking for things and demanding answers? It was really quite humbling for me to think about all of these things, and it made me want to improve and become better. But today, I want to talk about that, our relationship with our Heavenly Father and ways to maintain it. In a talk given by Susan Tanner, she tells a story of a very good young woman who came to her and said, "Sometimes I'm not sure who I am. I don't feel Heavenly Father's love. My life seems hard. Things are not turning out the way I wanted, hoped, and dreamed they would." Susan Tanner replied to her, "I know that you are a daughter of God. Heavenly Father knows you and loves you. He has a plan for you." I know we've all probably had time when life seems hard, and we wonder what Heavenly Father has planned for us, or perhaps we wonder if he's even there. So I want to start with the basics. Who is God? Elder McConkie said, "Be it known that there is a God in heaven who is infinite and eternal. He has all power, all might, and all dominion. There is no power he does not possess and no truth he does not know. Every good thing dwells in him independently in its eternal fullness. He is the creator, upholder, and preserver of all things. He is our Father in heaven, the literal Father of the spirits of all men. He has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, and in fact, a resurrected and glorified person. The name of the kind of life he lives is eternal life, and eternal life, by definition, and in its nature, consists of a life in an eternal family unit and of the possession of the fullness of the glory and power of the Father." I love how Elder McConkie lays it out. He has all power, all might, and how amazing that he is our Father in heaven. So how can we improve our relationship with him, and how can we hear him and know he's there? Our relationship with God is sacred and vital. We are his spirit children. He is our Father. He wants us to be happy. We improve our relationship with our Heavenly Father by learning of him, by communing with him, by repenting of our sins, and by actively following Jesus Christ. For no man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. To strengthen our relationship with God, we need some meaningful time alone with him. That means turning down the music, setting aside our phones, turning Netflix off, and just silencing our busy minds. I feel like that can be so hard these days. Taking time to quietly focus on personal prayer in our daily scripture study and keeping a current temple recommend. These will be some wise investments of our time and efforts to draw closer to our Heavenly Father. Elder Oaks said, "Gaining this knowledge is ultimately the quest of all God's children on earth. If you cannot remember believing in God, or if you have ceased to believe, or if you believe but without real conviction, I invite you to seek a testimony of God now. Do not be afraid of ridicule. The strength and peace that come from knowing God and having the comforting companionship of His Spirit will make your efforts eternally worthwhile." Next, how can we hear Him? The way to know the truth about God is through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead, is a personage of spirit. His work is to testify of God and to teach us all things. As you reach out in prayer in the name of Christ, He will answer. As we read God's word recorded through scriptures, we can hear His voice. As we go to the temple and attend church meetings and listen to general conference, we can hear His voice. When we're in the beauties of nature, we can listen for the whisperings of the Spirit. In our daily interactions with others, in the words of a hymn, we can hear His voice. If we listen for the voice of the Father, He will lead us on a course that will allow us to experience the pure love of Christ. One of my favorite sayings is, "Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but who holds the future." Where is our trust and faith in our Heavenly Father? Are we listening? This is a very personal and intimate question that only you can answer. So, with it being Father's Day, what is a gift we can give to our Heavenly Father? I thought of two things. First, to acknowledge. Elder Bednar gave a talk in 2006. In his talk, he talks of tender mercies. "But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom He hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance." As I read Elder Bednar's definition, think of tender mercies in your life now. He defines, "The Lord's tender mercies are very personal and individualized blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindness, consolation, support, and spiritual gifts." Some may count these experiences as simply a nice coincidence, but I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are real and that they do not occur randomly or merely by coincidence. I too know of these tender mercies of the Lord. I have seen them in my life. Even after reading this talk or hearing the talk in 2006, sometimes I think, is that a coincidence? But really, I know they're from God. I'd like to share a personal experience. I went to Jerusalem on a study abroad. While this was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, it was also difficult. Between the classes, travel, new friends, boys, missing home, there was a time when I was full of anxiety and stress. I had been praying constantly to know what to do. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember the exact seat I was sitting in during sacrament meeting, looking out at the old city. As I was praying, the words of Bob Marley came into my head. "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." I honestly laughed out loud in sacrament meeting because I knew this was only a Heavenly Father who could bring those words to my mind and be speaking to me. He was saying, "I know you, I'm aware of you and your life, trust in me." I wish I could say that this experience took all my stresses and hardships away, but it didn't. But my faith grew and my relationship with my Father deepened. The invitation in Psalms was met: "Be still and know that I am God." A loving Heavenly Father was sending me a personal and timely message of comfort and reassurance. Elder Bednar said, "We should not underestimate or overlook the power of the Lord's tender mercies. The simpleness, the sweetness, and the constancy of the tender mercies of the Lord will do much to fortify and protect us in the troubled times in which we do now and will yet live." We may ask, who gets these tender mercies? We may even think, I am certainly not one who has been or ever will be chosen. We may falsely think that such blessings and gifts only come to those people who appear to be more righteous or who serve invisible church callings. D&C 121 gives us an answer. Behold, there are many called, but few are chosen. And why are they not chosen? Because their hearts are set so much upon the things of the world and aspire to the honors of men. God does not have a list of favorites that one day we hope our names will be added. He does not limit the chosen. Rather, it's in our hearts, our aspirations, and our obedience which determines whether we are counted as one of God's chosen. So the first gift we can give him is to acknowledge the personal and individual tender mercies in our lives. The second gift I thought of is remembering them. You might ask, how does this process get started of remembering? I met a friend who was obsessed with Elvis. She would bring him up in conversations. I wanted to know more about this obsession. She explained she grew up in a very dysfunctional family. When she was six or so, she had bought one of Elvis's Bible tapes at the dollar store. Whenever she would listen to him sing Amazing Grace, she felt something, and it made her feel happy and calm. At the time, she didn't realize it was a spirit, but later when she had met the missionaries, she remembered that feeling and knew that she had found something special. Now she's an active member in the church with kids still obsessed with Elvis. Everyone has spiritual experiences. We may not have recognized them, but we have all been given the Spirit of Christ. In one of my favorite talks called Oh, Remember, Remember, Elder Eyring says, it won't be easy to remember living as we do with a veil over our eyes. We cannot remember what it was like to be with our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in the premortal world. Nor can we see with our physical eyes or with reason alone the hand of God in our lives. Seeing such things takes the Holy Ghost, and it's not easy to be worthy of the Holy Ghost's companionship in a wicked world. That is why forgetting God has been such a persistent problem among His children since the world began. And the prophet goes on to say, yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride, yea, how quick to boast and do all manner of things which is iniquity, and how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear unto His counsels, yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's paths. So how can we give the gift of remembering back to Him? We need to find ways to recognize and remember God's kindness. It will build testimonies. I remember this talk like it was just given yesterday. Elder Iron gave it in 2007. He tells a story that really stuck out in my mind. He was walking back from church meetings one night and passed his father-in-law carrying pipes on his shoulders. He was helping build a pump for the house. They exchanged a few words, and as he got to his door, he heard in his mind, I'm not giving you these experiences for yourself. Write them down. He went inside but didn't go to bed, even though he was tired. He took a pencil and paper out. President Irene said, I understood the message I had heard in my mind. I was supposed to record for my children to read someday in the future how I had seen the hand of God blessing our family. Grandpa didn't have to do what he was doing for us. He could have had someone else do it or not have done it at all, but he was serving us, his family, in the way covenant disciples of Jesus Christ always do. I knew this was true, and so I wrote it down so that my children could have a memory someday when they would need it. I wrote down a few lines every day for years. I never missed a day, no matter how tired I was or how early I would have to start the next day. Before I would write, I would ponder this question. Have I seen the hand of God reaching out to touch us or our children or our family today? As I kept at it, something began to happen. I would cast my mind over the day. I would see evidence of what God had done for one of us that I had not recognized in the busy moments of the day. As that happened, and it happened often, I realized that trying to remember had allowed God to show me what He had actually done. More than gratitude began to grow in my heart, testimony grew. I became ever more certain that our Heavenly Father hears and answers prayers. I felt more gratitude for the softening and refining that comes from the atonement of the Savior Jesus Christ. And I grew more confident that the Holy Ghost can bring all things to our remembrance, even things we did not notice or pay attention to when they happened. End of story. We may not all keep a journal. You may not even share whatever record you keep with the people you love and share, but you and they will be blessed as you remember what the Lord has done for you. It may be things, writing down something as simple as someone offering a hug and saying I love you when you need it most, finding a lost wedding ring, or your kids are finally playing nice together after a really long day. When I was in Jerusalem, the director's wife, Sister Brown, she always had this tiny notebook with her, and I would see her often jotting things down. It seemed at really random times. So I finally asked her, "Sister Brown, what are you doing?" She told me that this was her bursts of inspiration notebook, and any time that she saw God's hand in her life or she felt the Holy Ghost prompt her with a burst of information, she would immediately write it down. I thought, I could try that, but I doubt I'd have anything to write down every day. But I had this little notebook I kept in my fanny pack, and every time that something would happen, I would jot something down. And that little tiny notebook is now one of my most valued things for my whole trip in Israel, seeing all of the love I felt from God. I hope we can all take Elder Irene's invitation to heart. Go home tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. Pray and ponder and ask ourselves, did I see the hand of God reaching out to touch me or my children or my family today? As we do this, we can remember how much God loves us, how much we need him. The second gift we can give him is to remember. I know that God lives. I'm so grateful for my relationship that I have built with him and plan to continue building with him. I'm grateful for tender mercies. I see them in my life, and I treasure them dearly. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much, each of you who gave wonderful talks today. I'm glad you left just a few minutes, because I was sitting on the stand, and I was thinking, if we had a few minutes left, what would we do? And I thought of some things that I could say. Brother Beckstead thought of a few things that he could say. And so there's plenty to be said today about Father's Day. But I had the thought that there would be a couple of ward members that I thought I would like to hear from to say a few words. So I'm going to do that. And then if we have a few more minutes, maybe I'll let you say a few words, Brother Beckstead. But Sister Jensen, Jean Jensen, would you mind coming up for just a second? And while you're coming up, I'll tell you why I wanted you to say a word or two. And while Sister Jensen's coming up, you can just stand right by me for a second. I would like Dean Vertel, Brother Vertel, yes, that's you. Would you mind coming up too? And just, you can sit over here for a second, because you'll go next. But Sister Jensen gave a talk in our ward, a year or so ago, about her dad. And it was a wonderful talk. Little did we know at the time that we were gonna have her father be a member of our ward. And so I wondered if you would just take a minute and tell us a couple of those stories that you told us about your dad a year or two ago. I remember about his being called off to war, and I think he had to postpone his wedding and his military service, and you told several things. So just one or two of those things about your dad. And then I'm going to have Brother Vertel bear his testimony. So we'll go from at that point. Thanks.
I'm grateful for this opportunity. My father just celebrated his 99th birthday, and he is living with us now, and so I'm grateful to have him here with us. Dad was called up to serve in World War II when he was a young man, and he was engaged to my mother. They postponed their wedding for 4 years while he went to the European arena. And Dad, all of his life, told us war stories, but they weren't typical war stories. They were war stories about how they went to England first to prepare for the Normandy invasion, and how they obtained musical instruments, and how they decided they wanted to take those instruments with them across the English Channel during the invasion. So they put them in crates and labeled them kitchen utensils, got them across the English Channel into France. And then at every opportunity, when they moved to liberate one city after another, the people didn't know what was happening, and they got alarmed, and so they would pack up all their things and try to flee and clog up all the roads so they couldn't get any supplies through to the soldiers. And so Dad and his friends would get their musical instruments out and provide a parade, a victory parade, as they marched down the streets and invited the people to go back into their homes so they could get the supplies through. My favorite story is of my dad seeing the starving people and taking his mess kit and loading it up with supplies and taking it out and giving it away to a father of a family who was starving. He never expected to see his mess kit again. Mess kit's a pretty important piece of equipment for a soldier. But he had given it away, and the next day when he went out, there was the man who had polished up the mess kit, gave it back to him with tears in his eyes. I'm grateful for my father. I'm grateful for his goodness, for his faithfulness across all of his 99 years. I'm grateful for his kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
It seems like the right thing for me to be called up here on Father's Day, because I had a great father. I came from a big family. There's seven kids, and my dad always showed a lot of love. And even though he's not perfect, and as he gets older and his decisions don't seem as smart as they did, you know, back when he was raising me, I knew he loved me and he spent a lot of time with me. This last few years, I've lost a lot, but two things that haven't been taken away are probably the two things that mean the most to me in the world. And one is the gospel, and the second one are my children. I have six kids that I love dearly, and they're all here today, and I just want them to know that I love them all, and I love the gospel, and those two things are two things that nobody can ever take away from you. And when it all comes down to it, that's really the only two things that matter. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in the gospel and know that I know it's true, and that it's here to help you. Whenever it is, sometimes life gets tough and everybody's going to go through a tough time. But if you have the gospel and that anchor, you can get through anything. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
What a wonderful and inspired meeting. It was wonderful. As I was pondering a couple of thoughts, I'll just give thoughts of a couple of minutes. But it is wonderful to reflect and think on our fathers. I think that a lot of who we are is as a result of the people that came before, and I was blessed to have a truly wonderful father who has been a great example, and I would attribute 99% of any success I have as a father to his example and the things he taught me. I think we all laugh sometimes at some things we do that are mirror images or exactly like what our fathers did. One thing just wanted to share briefly, so I thought of a few different things I could share. About my own father was one humorous thing in terms of being there and supporting your kids in their different sports. I remember my father had me play tennis. I was the first one to play tennis in the family, and he wouldn't just watch me when I had like a sporting event, like in a high school match or a tournament. Even when I go out and like practice with one of my friends, he would. One time, my friend was like, "There's someone over there in the bushes." And my father was creeping between some bushes watching me practice tennis. And my friend thought that was really weird that my father was sneaking to watch me play. I'm a really good example. Another thing I've really thought about, my father's father suffered from Alzheimer's. And his, let's call it, memories of his father was cut short a little bit because at a relatively young age. And that's been something that I've thought about as I've tried to maintain and keep my relationship with my father as he's grown older, knowing that not only for you never know what's going to happen in life, but with death or disease or other things could cut short those memories and having time with him. And so I've strived to maintain that relationship with him and speak with him regularly and find opportunities to visit and have experiences with him. So I would encourage each of you to take advantage of now and that opportunity to maintain those relationships with your fathers and reach out if you haven't reached out in a period of time and let them know how much you love and appreciate them and all the good that they did for you and build those memories today. And I share that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We will now close our meeting by singing hymn number 72, which is, I forgot the program, hymn number 72, after which our benediction will be offered by Sam DeGraff. Thank you.